Hello, this is Kenny Williamson, and welcome back to another episode of McKill's Deck Chronicles. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the return of the Nephilim. And I think this is going to be a pretty interesting subject that you may find it interesting. And you may find it very hard to believe. But what we're going to do is we're going to start off here, and we're going to take a look at the biblical view of this and the return of these Nephilim. When are they going to return? What are the Nephilim and all that? So if we want to get to the real core of this, we're going to look, into the Bible to get to the real nitty gritty of this here. And we're going to have to start off in Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to have to talk about the days of Noah. Now, I know everybody knows who Noah and the Ark, everybody knows that story of Noah and the Ark, Noah's Ark. And when you see that, you're probably picturing the old man leading, a bunch of animals up onto the deck, and they all get in the ship and float around, and it's a pretty good old time, and you got all these fluffy animals, and it's just a nice, really nice picture to picture. You got the little Ark, model with the little animals, and they're all, it's really cute. However, what was going on in Noah's day is far, far from that. So to start off with here, when we talk about these days of Noah here, and not the fluffy, cuddly kitty cats on the Ark, okay, not that, Jesus, he had a confidential meeting up on the mountain with four of his disciples. And in this briefing that Jesus gave his disciples, he talks about his return and these different detailed events that would occur prior to his second coming. So I guess you could say that Jesus and these disciples thought it was fairly important because this information is recorded in three of the four Gospels. For example, in Matthew 24 and 25, Mark 13, and Luke 21 and 22. And basically, to sum it up here, he opens and closes this little briefing or meeting that he has with them with a repeated, basically, warning, telling them, he says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." And, okay, that occurs in Matthew 24:4. And you'll basically find this same theme over and over in these different Gospels and where I just mentioned that, you can be deceived, okay? So what we're dealing with here is spiritual matters that the enemy is going to try to deceive us with, okay? So this is a lot of spiritual stuff here. So in the middle of this little briefing he has with his disciples in verse 37 of Matthew 24, Jesus, makes kind of a strange remark about the days of Noah. And he says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now he goes on to say, in verse 38, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So one of the obvious things here is that Jesus was referring to is that people are going to be going about their normal daily routine and completely ignoring, like Noah here, they're going to be ignoring guys like Noah, they're going to be ignoring Christians saying, "Hey, get right before it's too late." And the next thing you know, the rapture is going to take place. Christians are gone. They're all left behind. And they're going to be like, we're doomed now. So, obviously, that's one of the things he's talking about. And obviously, that is the case. However, now there is, I believe, a deeper meaning to this as well. And you're like, "Well, it's written out here." Well, it is written out and you can read it. However, if you really want to know what the deeper meaning is behind this, you kind of need to, understand, you know, what the days of Noah were actually like. What else was going on in the days of Noah other than just people marrying and doing their normal routine? Okay, so if we know what's really going on back then we can try to figure out if Jesus, did he mean anything else about the days of Noah other than that? When he says that, like the days of Noah, was there anything else going on back then? Like maybe really bizarre and weird that a lot of people don't even want to think about, or they kind of put their blinders on to? Something that's a little too fringe to even talk about? Why don't we go over and check it out and find out for ourselves? In my opinion, if you want to get a handle on these Bigfoot sightings and UFO sightings and a lot of other bizarre creatures that people see all the time, I think you're going to have to do a little bit of homework over here in Genesis chapter 6 to really get a handle on this. So turning over here to Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, it says, verse 1 and 2 here, it says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them." Okay, pretty simple. "That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." So right here becomes the first oddball thing. So we know when men begin to multiply on the face of the earth, these are sons of Adam, okay, descendants of Adam. And they're normal men and women, just like today. Now, the sons of God, it says sons of God here in the Old Testament. Now, everywhere else, and like, let's say, in the New Testament, these sons of God, and even in the Old Testament in Job, the sons of God are mentioned. The sons of God are always angels, every time, okay, in this context. So when it says here that the sons of God, it's the angels saw these daughters of men. So they're looking down and like, hey, look at these women here. They're pretty good looking. Okay. And they took them wives of which they chose. So that will tell you right there that these women weren't necessarily choosing. These angels were choosing. So they probably forced them in some cases. Okay. They were probably raped in, you know, many situations, I'm sure. So we get over here to Genesis 6, verse 4, and it says, "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." So right here you go again. So they're giants in the earth in those days. Now, some different versions, which I'm not big on different versions, but they translate this giants into Nephilim. And I guess that's an easier way to say, maybe say it, I don't know. But most of these Nephilim, if you want to call them that, were giants. Just so happens they were giants. Now, were they all giants? I don't know. But there were giants in the earth in those days before the flood, and also after that. So right there tells you some of these giants, and we know this from Scripture, escaped the flood somehow. Now, you have to ask yourself a question. If the flood encompassed the whole entire earth, and everybody and every animal, air-breathing animal on the earth died, okay, that was not on the ark, how did these giants or Nephilim manage to escape the flood? Where did they go? Now, my personal opinion is they either went up away from the flood water or they went down. So they either had some type of machine or craft that could take them up above the water, or they had something like tunnels and some kind of a fortress down underneath that was waterproof underneath. So this is where we get into these UFOs, possibly. Okay. So here we have it right here in Scripture again. You know, sons of God. So we've got angels. It tells you right here, they came into the daughters of men and they bear children to them. So these angels come down, they hook up with these women, and these children are born. And these children became mighty men, which were of old. So right there you have a bizarre union between an angel and a human. So now what's left, the offspring of that, is no longer fully human and is clearly not fully angel. So it's a hybrid, some kind of a weird hybrid that God doesn't like. I mean, God wiped majority of them out with the flood, okay? Because this kind of stuff was going on prior to the flood. Now, I'm sure majority of them probably got wiped out, but however, they all did not get wiped out because here they are again popping up after the flood. So you have to keep in mind that these angels, these sons of God they're talking about, they are not good angels, okay? They're the bad guys. So we've got the bad angels who wanted to desert heaven, you know, get out of there. They come down, they're doing what they're not supposed to be doing, and they're having these offspring, which are some kind of bizarre hybrid, but let's just call them Nephilim, okay? So they're having these Nephilim running around, okay? So now Nephilim, you know, they've translated that, of course, it means to be the fallen ones is what Nephilim means. So we know that there's something not right going on there, okay? So now, like I said, these angels, these fallen angels and these sons of God that did this, you know, they are not the good guys, they're the bad guys. And you have to remember that talks about when Satan fell, a third of the angels fell with him. So not all of the angels fell, just a third of them. So is it possible that this third of the angels that fell worked with Satan in some way to create a hybrid race, okay? Because from what I understand, angels in heaven are unable to multiply. So there are no angels like female and male angels having other angel babies, okay? So once you're an eternal being and you're up in heaven, there is no more of that stuff going on. So they need to increase in numbers. And obviously they can't increase themselves, and God is the creator of them, and he's not going to create any more of them. So maybe they needed these women as, you know, for a reproduction, obviously, process. Because, like I said, a third of the angels fell with Satan. So if he wants to go to war with God, you know, he's got a deficiency of people. He's got a deficiency of angels of 2 to 1. You know, God's got way more angels than the devil has fallen angels. So, you know, maybe he was trying to strengthen his numbers and create a hybrid thing that follows him. So he's got his own little minions, if you will, that's been created that's half and half. He can't get full angels, but he can get a weird, monstrous hybrid going on. Now, let's fast forward a little bit into Genesis 6, verse 9, and it says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Now, obviously, that's a very good verse. That's a terrific verse that we've all read. We've all heard of it. But we may not have all paid attention to what possibly it's really saying here. Okay, when it says these are the generations of Noah, and Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, you know, what exactly does that mean? Well, obviously the word perfect means without blemish, you know, healthy, without spot, unimpaired. Obviously that's simple deal there. But to me, it makes it seem like in this verse, it indicates that Noah's genealogy was unblemished. Okay, so this comes right after the verses that talk about these strange goings on where these fallen angels have created some kind of weird form of hybrid. But Noah here, he's unblemished in his generations. And that's one of the reasons that God chose Noah and his three sons, you know, to start over again, because he had an unblemished genealogy. He was, in other words, fully human. There was no breeding going on between him, because, you know, we don't know how long this has been going on before Noah. So I'm sure these hybrids are running around all over the place. I mean, you may not even be able to tell who's a hybrid. Okay, could you tell? I don't know. We don't know what they looked like. We know later on that these hybrids, which they call giants, they were giant, so you could tell them apart because they were physically larger. Other than that, they looked pretty normal. So is it possible, you know, that Satan's plan was to contaminate the human race, to completely, you know, wipe out all actual humans, where the humans that are living are all these kind of bizarre, nasty hybrids, and there are no humans left? I mean, think about that. If Satan was able to succeed at that, and there was nobody left that was an actual human, well, God would have to kill them all. I mean, there would be nobody left to spare, because they're not even human anymore. They're some kind of an abomination, some filthy hybrid from Satan. However, after all, now, were all these people that way? I don't know. Did some of them, were they good in their genealogy? They just refused to get on the ark because of their ignorance? I don't know. But let's just say that majority of them were all intermingled with these beasts or monsters or whatever these hybrids were, whatever they looked like. You got a ton of them running around, and some of the good ones, like Noah and his family, they hadn't partaken of this, so they were pure in their genealogy, and God was able to stick them on the ark, wipe all the others out, and then restart with the human race again that's fresh, you know, actual good genes, if you will. So, can we confirm Genesis 6 in the New Testament of what happened a little bit there? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely we can. Let's turn over to Jude. Of course, Jude is just one chapter. But Jude 1, verse 6. And Jude says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." Okay. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." So, right here we have it. Jude talks about these angels, these sons of God, and they didn't keep their first estate. Okay, they were designed to be eternal beings with God. And they decided not to keep their first estate, and they left their own habitation. Okay, so they left their habitation and came down here and messed around with human women and started creating their own little hybrid race. And as it says here, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, in like manner, these angels, they gave themselves over to fornication into strange flesh. Okay, well, obviously, these fallen angels are fornicating with women they have no business messing with, which is the strange flesh. They're not supposed to be messing around with humans. So, right here, and they are set forth as an example, and they're going to be suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So, yeah, God wasn't too happy with these fallen angels, apparently. So, also, apparently, these fallen angels, they are chained somewhere, I guess, in hell. They're waiting a special judgment. Okay, and we are going to talk about this again also in Peter. He's going to talk about something similar to that. But even Jude, you know, if you want to talk about Jude here, he makes a comparison between the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah and these angels, in that they were doing that which is unnatural. Okay. Now, in Sodom and Gomorrah's case, it was homosexuality. Men were sleeping with men, and God considers that unnatural. So let's look over here in 2 Peter 2, 4. Okay, and this is going to sum this up again, back to Genesis 6. It says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So here we go again. God has, it says here, God has, you know, not spared the angels that sinned, but he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. So these fallen angels apparently are chained down right now in hell. And he even references it back again, you know, and just like he didn't spare the old world, but saved Noah. Okay. So back again, these angels, these fallen angels, and mentions Noah. So kind of some weird stuff going on, you know. And of course, I'm not into really Greek stuff, but I know if you were to study the Greek classic mythology, okay, you run into these different weird creatures, these titans, okay, and they're all in the Greek myth and legends, and these different titans of these Greek people, okay, of these Greek mythology, they're partly terrestrial on earth, and they're partly celestial. Most of these so-called, whatever they call in Greek mythology, but like gods, like Zeus and these others, they were supposedly part god, part human, and they had supernatural powers, okay? I mean, they were able to do things normal men couldn't do. So, you know, you've got Atlas, Hercules, of course, Zeus, those different ones. So I think that these legends of these ancient Greeks actually embody the truth of probably what really happened in the past, okay? We see them as Greek mythology, but really they're documentation of sorts of some of these bizarre creatures that were living back in those days that are actually what the King James Bible calls the giants, which the other version calls the Nephilim. So these things were literally the Nephilim running around. The Greeks saw these things running around and knew about the different things and literally wrote about them. And then all these thousands of years later, when this Greek stuff is read, well, that's mythology, see, because that couldn't happen. That's ridiculous. Well, you pair up what they saw and see and say with what the scripture says, yeah, it's really going on. There is some weird stuff going on. And this stuff's not only Greek mythology. They had stuff similar to this. The Incas and the Mayans. The Epic of Gilgamesh is about one of these creatures. Okay. They had this stuff in Persian mythology and obviously Greek mythology. We've got them from India, Bolivia, South Sea Islands. And there's just a whole bunch of them. And like almost every one of these cultures, including American Indians, okay, they have all these legends of these star people, you know, and these people that came from these gods or demigods. Of course, they thought they were gods. They were fallen angels. But to them, they were gods, of course. And so they've got these legends of these demigods that came and cohabitated with women and produced hybrids. And, you know, I read a deal on here and about some Native American Indians, okay? And these Native American Indians, you know, you see in movies, of course, in Hollywood, they'll hold up their hand. You know, you see a couple Indians come up, an Indian comes up and he holds up his hand and he says, "How?" Okay, well, that's Hollywood, per se, Hollywood fake. However, apparently, what the real practice was, what I read, is when they met a stranger, they held up their hand like that, and the reason for that is so they could count your fingers, okay? Because apparently, they had a fear of a six-fingered person, because a bunch of these hybrids and Nephilim, they're drawn in pictographs on these ancient walls that these Indians drew, and all the weird ones always had six fingers. So the thing that stands out here is they would hold up their hand so you would hold up your hand, and it's not just a normal greeting, it's so they could identify to see if you're human or not. I mean, think about that. These are ancient people doing this because they don't know if you're a human. So you need to hold up your hand so we can count your fingers. And that was a dead giveaway, apparently, according to this literature. Now, another thing that I ran across that I read is something to do with the Pawnee Indians. Okay, and it's an account that was written down, and it was written down by a guy by the name Buffalo Bill. Okay, now he was a famous Western guy that shoots guns and stuff. I'm sure you can look that up. Everybody's heard of Buffalo Bill if you know, certain people have. So Buffalo Bill, his real name was William Cody, but he went by Buffalo Bill. And he wrote an autobiography in 1920. Okay, so in his autobiography in 1920, he has a very interesting quote in his book, you know, by Buffalo Bill. And so he says that while he was in the Sand Hills scouting in the county where the Pawnee Indians lived, he says that these Indians brought into camp some very large bones, of which the surgeon of the expedition pronounced to be the thigh bone of a human being. Okay. And these Indians said that the bones were those of a race of people who had lived long ago, and they had lived, these people had lived in that area, and they said that these people were three times the size of a normal man of present day. They went on to say that these people were very swift, very fast, very strong, and they could run by the side of a buffalo. And they could take the animal in one arm while they were running and tear off a leg off of this buffalo as they're running and eat it as they ran. Now, is this story true? You know, I don't know. It is in an autobiography published in 1920. And obviously back then they weren't even thinking about UFOs or anything else. And it was a interesting story, I'm sure, that they put in the book. Okay. And the thing is, I mean, think about it. There were giants. The Bible verifies there were giants. These Indians are talking about a race of people that lived a long time ago that they have passed down this information. So why wouldn't you believe it? I mean, I don't know if they were actually running around with a buffalo and eating, you know, ripping on the legs off and eating it while they ran. I don't know, but I'm sure they could have. I mean, the Bible talks all about different giants running around doing all kinds of stuff. So it sounds feasible to me. I mean, we know that there were Nephilim running around before the flood. We know that they're running around after the flood. Now, when did they totally cease to exist? I don't know. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they haven't. Okay, maybe that has to do with a lot of the UFO sightings and a lot of the Bigfoot sightings and other weird things people see. Maybe they haven't went anywhere. Maybe they're still right here. You ever thought about that? Maybe we haven't got rid of them. These things aren't a thing of the past. They're right here with us, right here today. That's what I think. Okay, so we get back over here. And later on, to prove that these things are running around, okay, we can go back over here into Numbers 13, verse 32. You know, and this is whenever Moses, you know, was trying to go into the promised land, and he sent out his spies to check it out, to check out Canaan. You know, the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Canaanites, they all were dwelling over there, and he sent them over there to check it out. God told them to go in there and take the land. So here come the spies back, and they say, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Okay. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So he's saying they saw, you know, a land here, And okay, it's a land that eateth up the inhabitants. So I'm assuming there's a lot of cannibalism going on, probably. They're probably eating you, eating each other, doing all kinds of stuff they're not supposed to be doing. And guess what? A bunch of giants running around. And according to these guys, these giants were so big that a normal man was like a grasshopper compared to them. Okay, now think about how big a grasshopper is compared to us right now. Okay, they're pretty small. You can just squash them. So if what they're saying is exactly correct, these are some awfully big dudes running around. Is there any wonder how these huge, you know, like the Egyptians and all these Mayans and Mayans, all this different stuff that's been created with stones that weigh 20 tons, stones so big that we don't have a machine today able to move it. You know, buildings so big, and of course this is not in the history books because they don't want you to think. They want you to be dumbed down. They don't want you to know any of this stuff. Those ancient buildings are so big and heavy with the stones, a lot of those, they don't even know where the stones came from. Or they found a quarry they think the stones came from, like hundreds of miles away. They have no idea how they got the stones over there. They're too big to move. So us, with all our wonderful technology and how smart we are, you know, because we're getting better, you know, men always getting better. We're not degrading, you know, we're getting better. You know, we're evolving into smarter. Now, we're devolving, okay? But let's pretend what we say here, the scientist, we're evolving into something better. You mean to tell me we can't even move a rock like these guys moved with all our wonderful technology, supposedly been on the moon, which I believe is fake, supposedly sends things to Mars, which I believe is fake. You know, all this wonderful technology, but we can't move a big rock. We don't have the technology. So how these big rocks get moved into place? Well, I tell you what, right here is pretty obvious to me. If you have a man, a giant, that makes a normal man the size of a grasshopper, you take that dude and his buddies, you can move some big rocks. Okay, you can build some awful big temples. Maybe that's why all these temples over there in this area have got steps and stairways that are like 8 feet tall. And everybody's baffled when they see them. They're like, why would anybody build a staircase with the steps that are 8 or 10 feet tall? You know, no man can even get up, and it's ridiculous. Well, maybe the men that built it, they were normal steps to them. But, you know, these are the same clowns that don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe any of this, even though it's clearly written in black and white. You know, it's too fringe. What? That's ridiculous. A giant? That's ridiculous. It's all made up. Well, I don't believe so. And they're probably still around. So I digress on that. However, I do believe that these so-called giants that were running around, okay, they probably built the pyramids, like the Great Pyramid at Giza, that nobody can explain who built it. There's no markings on it. Okay, and like Stonehenge in Britain, nobody can figure that one out or figure where the stones came from. Okay, and there's other ones. Well, you know, there's some up and called the Golan Heights. Okay, there's unexplored monuments up there that's called the Gigal that I read about. Okay, so there's all kinds of stuff that's unexplained. A lot of it's so far up in the mountains, you know, they can't explain how it got there. They don't know where the rocks got there. You can only see it from an airplane. You can only see it if you fly over it. Otherwise, you'd never even know it was there. So how is that? Why would that be? Think about it. So, again, I believe that to understand a lot of this stuff, you know, this is not simply just a study in Old Testament ancient history. I believe this is essential information if you want to understand your Bible properly, what has happened in the past, what is possibly happening right now, okay, and what is probably going to happen in the near future. Okay, we have a reoccurring theme here of Satan wanting to annihilate humans. He wants them gotten rid of. Satan does not like humans. Okay, he hates them. Satan is in control of this earth. Satan is using other humans by bribing them, like all of the big filthy multi-billionaires out today. Okay? They don't know that they're being used. They're probably too stupid to know it. Okay? So they're being fooled because they're not saved. So the devil is using them to do stuff to the rest of us. Okay? So now those people that are being used will eventually be used up. And then they will get to take their place in hell. Now, they don't believe there is a hell, probably. But whenever they get their big fat butts kicked into it, they're going to believe it then. Okay? So they're going to get reserved for hell. The devil's going to use them until they're all used up. Okay? And then they're going to get exactly what they deserve. So these little minions that the devil is using, which are normal people, probably most of them, you know, they're going to go to hell. Now, are there some more Nephilim or some hybrids running around here also? Possibly. I mean, we've all seen the proof online when you look at, you know, for example, our current president. You look at him from the 80s or from 10 years ago and you look at him today, looks like a completely different person. Looks like he has different eyes, clearly has completely different skin. I mean, it's like, okay, did you go through like years and years and years of plastic surgery, or are you not the same person? I don't know. You know, maybe you're some kind of a weird hybrid that's taken the place of. I don't know. Maybe lots of these people are hybrids. I mean, think about it. All throughout the Bible, angels appeared to men, and all these angels appeared as men. Okay, they showed up in Sodom and Gomorrah, and all the homosexuals out there thought that they were just good-looking men and said, hey, bring out those two dudes. Okay, these, you know, they're always showing up, and they're always showing up as men. So could these fallen angels look like men as well? Okay, now the fallen angels have done something with human women, so they must be compatible like that. So they must look like a man. You know, they procreate with regular women, and their offspring is something weird. Well, are all their offsprings giants? I don't know. But we've got these fallen angels running around doing God knows what, and we've got their offspring running around doing God knows what. So who, like in our government, for example, is a real person? I don't know. I mean, we've got lots of nutballs running this country. We've got lots of nuts out there that want you to take, you know, lots of medicine for diseases you don't have. And then come to find out some of this medicine, guess what? Changes your DNA. It changes your mRNA. Come to find out, it changes all kinds of stuff in your body. Maybe it's an experiment to, you know, turn you into something other than human. Some kind of genealogy, you know, I don't know exactly, because I'm not a scientist, obviously, I'm not a doctor. Something to alter your genes, to turn you into something you're not supposed to be. So how many of these people in charge that are pushing this stuff on you and your children, trying to make you do things you don't want to do, that's 100% against the Bible, 100% against God's word? That's what they want you to do. Don't you think that's weird? So how many of these people running around aren't even real people? I mean, maybe they're angels. Maybe they're some of these, you know, Nephilim, some of these offspring. You know, I don't know. But anyway, so back to these Nephilim, or these giants. Okay, here we go again. We've got another king, King Og of Bashan. Okay, this is over here in Deuteronomy 3:1 or 3:11. And it says, and of course we're talking all about, you know, Og, and they're coming in to take his land, they're going to kill him, all that stuff. And it says, for only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. It is not, let's see, in Rabbath of the children of Ammon. 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. So we know it was a really big bed. I read before it's somewhere like 9 feet. So like a cubit's like 18 inches. So you take your 18 inches, time your nine, and, you know, you get your length. It was big. But then later on, it comes on later on to the verses here, and it says he's talking about giving the rest of this area, okay, giving it to the tribe of Manasseh. And basically it says, with all Bashan, which was called the land of the giants. So again, giants running around. Now you've also got reference to this also in Joshua. Okay, Joshua 12, verse, verse 4. And it says, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants. Okay, and dwelt at Ashtaroth, and such and such, such and such. So again, we've got him, old Og, mentioned at least a couple times. Now, later on, in 1st, 2nd Samuel, whenever we have King David, and he goes up against Goliath, of course, Goliath was a giant, and we know that King David, he picked up 5 stones. Well, the reason he did that is because later on, it talks about Goliath's 4 brothers. So there were 5 giants right there, and he only killed the one, Goliath. But Goliath had 4 brothers. So again, we've got more of these things running around. So now, as I mentioned before, I've mentioned UFOs a couple times, and this possibly related to UFOs, possibly, you know, Bigfoot. Well, you know, I have lots and lots of stories about abductions and people, not abductions, but UFO sightings, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, there's lots of junk and lots of stuff that's not true, but there are lots of credible sightings with radar sightings and all that kind of stuff. Now, they also have lots and lots of stuff that has to do with being abducted. You know, people claim that they have been abducted by these aliens. Okay, and there are still lots of cases of that that come out all the time. Now, most people would say that these alien abduction cases, they're too weird, they're too bizarre, you know, to even take seriously. If somebody says it, they must be a crazy liar. However, you know, that's on the one hand, they're very bizarre and crazy. But on the other hand, they're also very frequent and very consistent, maybe even too consistent and too frequent to ignore. And according to these publications that are put out by these UFO places, they claim that 1 to 3% of our population have reported that they have been abducted. Okay, now that's like 5 million people. That's a lot of people. That's not like 3 people. Okay, that's a lot. And so millions of people have reported this secretly, and some they don't want their names to be known. Okay, and almost every one of these abduction scenarios always has something to do with implanting or harvesting human fetuses. Something sexual in nature almost every time. Okay, so this is, you know, it's kind of weird that these so-called aliens that keep showing up, they're awfully interested and they're very preoccupied with the human reproductive process and women and babies and fetuses. Kind of makes you wonder if this has anything or could be leading up to some of these same strange events that happened in Genesis 6. Okay, so maybe a lot of this stuff we have today with these aliens abducting people and artificially inseminating them and messing around with babies and taking their womb and all this stuff they supposedly do, maybe this has something to do with these new hybrids. So keeping all of this bizarre stuff in mind that's happened in the Bible and is possibly still happening, in my opinion, you know, you go back to Genesis 3, okay, and we can kind of figure out what this cosmic deception and this big lie that was started back then, kind of what we're talking about here. So basically, if you read that, you know, what, you know, Adam and Eve did and everything, it says in Genesis 3:15, it says, God is talking here, and he's talking to the serpent, And he says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay. So basically, God declared war on Satan, and he says, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So we can see here, that some people overlook this. There is two seeds mentioned here. Okay. The woman's seed, which we know is, you know, man, but we're also mentioning the serpent's seed. Okay, so who is the seed of the serpent, do you think, that he's talking about here? Well, to sum that up, you know, we have all kinds of different mentions of the red dragon, for example, in Revelation 12. The coming of the new world leader, as I sometimes call, of course, as it's called, the false prophet in Revelation 13. And these forces are still at work and behind the world powers today, just like I was saying, okay? And we can check out Daniel, the book of Daniel, where he's talking about the statue. Of course, the king saw the statue, and Daniel interpreted the dream for him about the statue, and it had the gold and the silver and the brass and all that stuff as it went down to the feet. Well, when he gets down to the feet, the toes, there are 10 toes, and they are partly metal, partly iron, and partly clay. And we find this, of course, in Daniel 2. We can start off here, in verse 41 here, where he says, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And it says, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly broken. So he's describing these toes. So we know there's going to be 10 kingdoms that are going to be partly strong, partly weak. Okay. And so he goes on to say that, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So reading that alludes to the fact of something or somebody is going to be mixing with the seed of men again. Now, we already know what the seed of men is all the way back, you know, the women, the seed of man, and these different fallen angels were mixing with them back then. And here we go again where Daniel says that they are going to be mixing themselves with the seed of men. Now that's the future. That stuff happening right there is going to be in Jacob's trouble, in the tribulation. These 10 kingdoms are going to come into power, okay, and that's the last 10 kingdoms that are going to be going on in the last 7 years of tribulation. So after us Christians have been raptured out, okay, the Holy Ghost leaves with us, the Holy Spirit leaves with us, okay, now this stuff can all start coming back into play, and I'm going to prove that to you. In Matthew 24:24, Christ is speaking. He's talking about the abomination of desolation. He's talking about what's happening or going to happen in the tribulation, okay, to these Jews. And he says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So how do you think these false prophets and, you know, people and false Christ, how are they going to show great signs and wonders? Where do they get that kind of power from? Well, they're getting it from Satan. And these prophets and these false Christs, these are probably some of these things that are mixed with the seed. Okay, the miry clay and the iron and the toes. Okay, whatever is mixing itself with the seed of man, that kind of starts all of a sudden growing rampant. Here's what some of these false prophets, here's what they're doing. You know, And it says, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. But see, here's the thing. It's not possible to deceive somebody who's saved, because the Holy Spirit living within you gives you discernment to know it's fake. If you're honestly actually saved, you're not going to be able to be deceived by this hocus pocus going on. You're going to be able to see right through it. Now, you meet somebody or you know somebody that believes every word they say like they do now on TV, whenever this figurehead like our president gets on there and tells you you need something and you just run out and go get it, if you're that dumb or that non-discernment, you don't have any discernment at all, it's probably because you're not saved. Most people, from what I have seen, who are actually saved, they don't fall for it. The Holy Spirit tells them, nope, don't do it. That's a load of, that's a crock of garbage right there. It's a load of crap. Don't do it. Okay, same thing here. You're not going to be able to fall for this stuff if you're saved. Now, we jump over here to 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Okay, and then we're talking about, again, this is talking, Paul is talking to the church of Thessalonica, and he's telling them what to expect here. And because they're worried that this rapture and everything's already happened, and they think that they've been left behind. And he's telling them that that's not the case. Okay? And he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, well, the Antichrist has not been revealed to us who he is. So obviously the rapture hasn't taken place. Okay, boom, right there. And it says right here that he is going to set himself above what's called God, and he wants to be worshiped so that he is as God, and he's going to sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. Okay, has that happened? No, but why? How do we know that's not happened? Well, there is no temple. First, there has to be a temple over there on the Temple Mount built. Now, are they getting ready to build that temple? Yes. They have everything in place to build that temple right now. How long is it going to take them to build the temple? Probably not very long. Okay, so do we have 100 years? I'm sure not. We probably only have a year or two before they build that temple. Now, once that temple's built, okay, prophecy already says 3 years into that temple being built, the abomination of desolation is going to take over and cause you to take the mark of the beast. Okay, so that hasn't happened yet because the temple's not built yet. Okay, but it also goes in here to say, however, now this is not happening yet, however, this mystery of iniquity does work already. It says, the mystery of iniquity doth work already. It says, only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now that let means restrain. So let's break that down to easier English. So the mystery of iniquity already is at work. So the devil is already doing his tricks right now. But only he who restrains will continue to restrain the devil until he be taken out of the way. What that's telling you is the Holy Spirit is restraining Satan from doing all these tricks like he did back in Noah's day. He's being restrained. And the restrainer is going to continue to restrain Satan until he's taken out of the way. When do you think the restrainer's taken out of the way? He's taken out of the way when the church age, the church Christians right now are raptured. When we get raptured out, the Holy Spirit goes with us. Okay? So right after the rapture, all hell literally is going to break loose. And I don't mean, you know, just there's going to be some criminals running around carjacking people. I'm sure that's going to happen too. I'm sure there's going to be criminals running amok. Okay, yes. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about literally Satan will come to full power. Okay, and his little minions and his fallen angels and his little hybrids are going to take over. And when those little hybrids decide they're going to take over, these little Nephilim or whatever they're called, okay, they're going to take the women that are left and they're going to rape them. And they're going to have lots of offspring, lots more of these Nephilim running around. Who do you think is going to be Satan's armies that he's going to use to try to attack Christ later on in his second coming? Who do you think is going to make up all these armies that would actually go against God and try to defeat him? Well, it's going to be these things that are mingling with the seed of men in these 10 kingdoms. Well, these 10 kingdoms and all this comes to power after we're raptured, okay? And after he who restrains finishes restraining, after he's removed, all hell literally breaks loose. So, we're raptured. Holy Spirit goes with us, because he's not needed here, because all the Christians are gone. Now the devil comes to full power. All his little fallen angels come to full power, okay? They're able to, all of a sudden, do lying wonders, show great signs, looks like they're working magic. People think that they are Christ. And I'm sure all the UFOs are going to show up right about that time too. And all the people left, you know, they're wondering where everybody went. So they're going to say, oh, well, they were abducted by UFOs, the bad ones, but here are the good ones. Here's an alien from Mars or wherever they're supposedly from. Here they are. And they're going to teach us the new way. They're going to show everybody what to do. Now, all you've got to do is do everything they say. You've got to worship us and we'll cure you. We'll do this. Oh, and by the way, we're going to take you women out here as our sex slaves, and you guys are going to produce a new army of hybrids for us, okay? Because that's what we need. We need demonic hybrids running around to get stuff done. We can't just rely on humans, okay? Oh, and by the way, get on your knees and worship me, and you take my mark. And if you don't, if you reject us in any way, we're going to cut your head off, okay? We're going to kill you. And there's lots of those talked about in Revelation that were martyred and murdered in this time that are up there in heaven wondering what's going on. So obviously, this restrainer, this Holy Spirit, he is restraining more than you and I have any idea, okay? More than we have a capacity to imagine. I have always thought, when you read this, you're thinking, oh yeah, he's restraining a lot of evil. And whenever the restrainer, when he leaves, you know, when we get raptured, you know, you're going to have a lot of crime and you're going to have some people running around and you're going to have lawlessness, you know, and there's going to be people probably carjacking me and they're going to be crazy. That ain't going to be any, you ain't going to be worrying about getting carjacked, I don't think. You're going to be worrying about the creature, the monsters that are coming up out of the water, that are coming up out of the pits of hell. You're going to be worried about these bizarre hybrids throwing you down and raping you or doing whatever they want to do. Okay? And having some kind of magical powers to go along with it. And all the other people that are in La La Land that are goo-goo and gaga-on all over this stuff, they're going to be thinking, see, I knew it. Here it is. Here's the aliens. We're going to worship them. Look at all their power. And the whole time they're being misled, and then they're going to be abused, and then when they get killed in this process, they're going to be thrown in hell. So, yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be very good. So, we have no idea. We can't even imagine what the Holy Spirit is restraining at this moment, because you can see some of the stuff that the devil has pulled off in the past. And when these 10 toes get here and these things start mingling again with men's seed, you're starting all over again. You're going right back to the days of Noah, okay, which is what Jesus said. It's going to be like the days of Noah. Okay, yeah, there's going to be people buying and selling and doing all their stuff, but there's also going to be this, you know, fallen angels having sex with women, and then we've got these hybrids running around, and you know, well, they're already here, I'm sure, as well, hidden, or maybe not, but they're going to start having sex with people too, and so you're going to have all kinds of bizarre creatures and hybrids and sick, demonic things running around. Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be something. You don't want to see it, okay? So, I mean, if you're looking down from heaven, that's one thing. But if you're not saved right now, buddy, you better get saved before it's too late, because this rapture could happen any moment. They don't know when it's going to happen. Nobody knows. But based on the signs of the times and what's happening, based on biblical prophecy, and that Bible ain't been right. That Bible has not been wrong yet. It's always right. Okay, so based on its prophecy, we don't have much time left. So, you know, if you ain't saved right now, you better get saved before it's too late, or you're going to be running into some of these monsters, and I'm sure they're going to tear you limb from limb, especially if you don't want to go along with whatever they say. You know, for example, over here in Revelation 11:7, you know, you've got the two witnesses that are running around during this tribulation, trying to get people saved, trying to help people. And right here, you know, it says, and while they have finished their testimony, so when they're done doing their work, God's finished with them at that point, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. Okay, it talks about how their dead bodies are going to lie in the street, you know, lie in the street for 3 days. Okay, so something comes up out of the ground, ascends out of the bottomless pit, and murders these two guys. We're talking some stuff is going to be happening that's unbelievable. Now, real quick here, when it comes back to these UFOs and stuff that people see all the time, if you've ever paid attention, there's about three different aliens that people have supposedly seen. You've got the grays, as they're called, which have got the big head. You know, they're little bitty, got a big head and big eyes. They're just kind of running around. They don't seem to do too much. You've also got what they call the Nordics or the Palladians, okay? And they're like a normal 6 foot tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, supposedly, you know, they kind of look like normal people almost, only they always, you know, there's something different about them, but pretty much normal looking for the most part. And then you've got the third group, which I'm sure you've heard of, they call the Reptilians. Okay, and these are these scaly-looking, supposedly weird creatures that look like something out of a cheap, you know, cheap horror movie, a science fiction movie, weird-looking, bizarre-looking creatures. And, of course, you think about this, like, well, this is crazy. You know, why would anything even look like that? It doesn't make any sense. However, you go over here into Revelation 16:13. And it talks about, you know, these different things happening. And it says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophets. So I don't know if those are the reptilians people are seeing, a frog-like, lizard-looking thing. I don't know. But what I can tell you is I believe that in the end times, God is going to use these strange creatures, demonic creatures or whatever, to draw the world in to this confrontation that the devil has. The God's allowing this to happen, okay? The devil's doing a lot of this stuff, but God's allowing all this to happen. And that is part of the climax of Revelation, you know, where basically all these armies of these weirdos show up and try to fight Jesus as he returns, and he kills them with the sword of his mouth. Okay, all he does is speak it, and fire rains down onto them from heaven, and they're all destroyed. So that's the ending. Okay, so the bad guys get killed in the end. We know that. But I just want you to think about that, the stuff that's possibly going to be happening in the end times in this tribulation. So I believe these sightings of monsters and demons and aliens and stuff, they're all tied in somehow to these fallen angels and these Nephilim, okay, and these giants. It's all tied in together. I think they're all still doing something. Don't know exactly what. And I think in the tribulation, when these 10 toes come into play, which is 10 kingdoms, you know, they're going to be mingled in there, and we're going to see an upkick in all this kind of stuff again. And God knows what's going to be on the earth. Thank goodness we're going to be gone as Christians. So I think we're going to have an upkick in all that stuff, upkick in extraterrestrial stuff, you know, occult stuff, UFOs, demonic, Bigfoots, all kinds of stuff you're going to see. And the only thing you can do, I mean, you can't do anything with your own intellect, okay? You can't protect yourself with knowledge in the traditional sense, okay? Because this is a spiritual battle. You need to understand, like Paul says in Ephesians, okay, 6:12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, okay, in high places. So that's, and when we say high places, I don't necessarily just mean like up like a king. It could be up in the air. Okay, some of this wickedness could be up like in a fake spaceship or something like aliens. That's my opinion. So I think some of these high places are actually up physically high. But anyway, you know, you need to, you know, the only way to get around this is to be saved. Okay, you need to, like Paul also says, you need to put on the whole armor of God. Okay, you need to do that in order to survive this. You need to be saved. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Your eternal destiny depends upon that relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? So, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, give us an email at truthseekers2012@gmail.com. You can also find us on our website, kennywilliamson.com. Thanks for listening. Please like and share. Tell your friends. If you give us an email and want to be on the show, just let us know. We can sure talk about it. Thanks again for listening, and I hope this helped you, and God bless.